Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes, known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and Shalom. This is your host, Mark Reimbold, back again. And this is the House of Ephraim Show. Do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard. But first, a word from our announcers.
And now, from Cradle of Hope, are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope, is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Hey, welcome back in the show. It's Mark Reimbold. Got a couple announcements to make before we get going here with our great, great show we have in store for you. I just want to remind everyone that we do have a website, www.jewishprophet.com. That's www.jewishprophet.com. And for all you new people out there, maybe the first time that you've been on, please check that website out. You're going to find out who we are, and you're going to get a hold of a lot of material that you've never seen before. And you want to check that material out, because you're going to start to learn the Word of God. And I'm telling you what a great opportunity that is. We also have a quarterly coming up here, and you can get more information about that by clicking on the itinerary button on the front page there in the upper left-hand corner and find out what the quarterly and where it's going to be. It's going to be over in Fairfield, Illinois, out what we call lovingly the Corn Patch. And you can be a part of that and begin to learn the material straight from the throne room of God. And I'm telling you what, that is a great opportunity, folks. So grab a hold of this and begin to prepare and to plan and get yourself down here and find out for yourself what's going on. And you can become part of this last day move of God, the House of Ephraim. And again, you can get all that information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. We also have fellowships available online. So, you know, if you're out there and you don't have a local fellowship or you want to begin to learn about the material and begin to plug in with the material, not only do we have this blog every day, but we also have fellowships available online. That's via ustream.tv, and we have one on Friday night. I teach one myself Friday night. You can become part of that. There's also a Wednesday midweek service, and we teach only the prophet's material so that you're assured of learning the right material at the right time. What an opportunity, again, that all is. So, again, if you don't already have a fellowship in your area or you just are interested in learning more about what's going on, please consider joining up with that. And you can get more information just by emailing us at cradle@jewishprophet.com. That's cradle@jewishprophet.com. And just say, hey, I'd like to sign up for that Shabbat service that Mark was talking about, and certainly love to get you hooked up. If you want to do it just by the telephone, we can do that also. And you can give the office a call, 618-262-2810, and find out more about that also. Like I said earlier, we do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard.
Daniel, the 10th chapter, in the 10th chapter of Daniel, the 10th verse, the name, the two kingdom system. Understanding that there are two worlds, and we're taught by Scripture that even though we live in a body that we can look in a mirror and see, and you and I can see each other, We also have a soul, which is made up of the five senses, the mind area. We also have, bless God, a spirit that is created by God that is placed into our bodies in our mother's wombs. We're taught that the real world is a spirit world, and we are first spirit. And I'm going to say this, and you're going to hear me reiterate this, I'm certain, numbers of times over this weekend. We, you and I, all mankind, being made a spirit, placed into a body with a soul, we are made in the image of God. We're made in His image. We have the same full capabilities of operating into the supernatural world as God Himself, because we are made in that way. And I want you to hang on to that, because, as I said, we're going to go back and we're going to keep touching on this thing, because as I understand this thing, God spoke to me, and God said to me numbers of years ago, He said, the church will have to learn to walk and live into the miraculous, or He said, they will not be able to survive in the last days. I said to the Lord, how could it be that the church could ever learn to live in the miraculous? I was around the church too much. I've been in too many churches. I just about every kind of church that you can imagine I have been in one time or another, preached in them. And I have watched the lack of faith. I have watched I watched people that had big congregations, and the whole motivation of the church was the band, had nothing to do with the Word of God. The preacher may minister 10 minutes, and they gave him 10 minutes, and after that 10 minutes is over, it was back to the band. Other churches wave the flags, they dance, they fall on the floor, they carry on, but there's not a consistent move of the power of the Ruach HaKodesh within the body of believers. I have said for years, the sickest people that I have ever been around are the Pentecostal people. And they're the people that believe in the fulfillment, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh. And they believe in healing, but yet they're sick, and they're sick all the time. And I could never understand. I go in, and they say, oh, Brother Deckard, we want you to come in. Well, let me tell you something. The Assembly of God's loved me, and they wanted to give me, I always called it a union card, so I could be theirs. And I could go to their churches, and I'd gotten into the place where I was ministering in some of the larger churches, and bless God, they loved it because they loved the gifts that operate within my ministry. And so I get into some of their churches, and I'd be ministering, and the Lord God said, stop. He said, ask the pastor if you can start having a Bible study. I said, Lord, do I have to do that? And He said, yes. He said, they don't understand squat about what you're doing. I go back, I said, pastor, God's telling me we need to have a Bible study. Oh, he said, okay, that'll be fine. He said, when do you want to have it? And I said, well, I don't care. So he'd get up and announce, well, we're going to start having a Bible study every morning at 10 o'clock. So every morning at 10 o'clock, I've got to get out of bed. I've got to go to the church. I've got to get down there, you know, I've got to get down there where they, right on the ground floor with them. And I've got to start teaching them about faith. See, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without it, you can't even please God. The church has not the foggiest idea what faith is even all about, because I'm going to tell you what the church is. The church believes you pray a prayer and hope you get lucky. Well, now, Brother Deckard, I'm coming to your service tonight because I've been to 1,800 other services, and maybe this is my night to get lucky. Now, I have heard those type of comments brought to me, not 1,800 services, but people that have traveled and done this and done that, been everywhere you can imagine, and bless God, come hoping that, I said, it isn't luck. Do you realize with healing all it amounts to is that you're just accepting the fact of what Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, did over 2,000 years ago when He hung up on the tree by receiving those stripes? That's all healing is, folks. It doesn't have a thing to do with, No. It's got everything to do with understanding. Do you know why it takes the anointing to destroy the yoke? Because of the lack of faith, the fact of understanding, the lack thereof. Being able to understand what this thing is all about with God. You are made in the image of God. You are quite capable of operating like God operates. And in order for you to do that, You're going to have to unlearn some things to begin to learn some other things. You're going to have to begin to realize, and I could brought people that here that travel with me around the world that could stand here for the days and begin to tell you about the things that they have watched this prophet have to do when I'm out in the third world, how we have had no water, had no way to purify it. How it was that I just took the water and lifted it up to the Lord God and said, let it be healed in the name of Yeshua. And we drank the water for 2 weeks and nobody got sick. Now, how does that happen? It happens because somebody understands what this thing's about. Somebody understands. Miracles isn't any great whatever to however. As I have openly said, I have watched one of the people that I saw raised from the dead died in this room right here that you're in. Absolutely stone cold dead right back over there toward that corner. I was up here preaching, had a dandy sermon that night. And of course, we all think as preachers are all dandy, right? And I'm preaching, and all of a sudden a crowd begins to gather back over there. I walk over this side of the stage and I look back over there and I just stopped. I mean, they had more attention there than I was getting up here, and I said, what in the world is going on back there? This gal, the nurse, said, such and such died. I said, died? Who died? I said, nobody's going to die in my meeting. I said, no, that's not going to get around town if they come out to Deckard's meeting and die during my meeting. I said, no, they're not dying during my meeting. They can die on their own time. They can get in the parking lot and die, but they're not dying in this sanctuary. I said, get out of the way. I come running out of this thing. They all backed up. I got over there, and I sort of levitated off the floor. Now, I'm big enough when I levitate. That's one of those natural laws. When it goes up, it's going to come down. And when I landed on that old boy, I'm going to tell you what, and he had already turned purple. And I landed on him, and I said, God, I said, I don't know what's going on here, but I said, I'm here to tell you. I said, bring his spirit back in Yeshua's name. And I said, spirit, get back into this body. Because I said, he's not dying in my service, in God's time, right here in this room. Not tonight. They're all looking like this. I said, live! His eyes come open. He said, what happened? I said, oh, not much. You just died. He said, already, one of the good saints that had all the faith called 911. We didn't have 911 then, but they called the ambulance service. When a little old town this big, it might as well be 911 because they can get here quicker than you go to the bathroom. And so anyway, he's up, all right? He's on the floor, checking himself out. He didn't think he had died. And they're all saying, yeah, you died. That nurse said, yeah, you were dead. And so they decided they'd strike the band up, and so the band started playing. And so the dead guy is down front dancing. And through those two doors back there came the guys with the gurney. They pushed it right in there just about back where Douglas is at, and they stopped and said, where's the dead guy? And I said, that's him right up there. He said, no. He said, we were called or somebody died. I said, that's him up there. So which one? I said, the one dancing. That guy looked at me and he said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, no, I wouldn't kid about something like that. I said, he was dead, and now he's alive. Now, he had to go to the hospital, so they checked him out, because I told him to go ahead, because he'd be a good witness for the Lord, and that upset the whole hospital here, that somebody had died, and bless God, somebody had the audacity to demand that spirit. See, when you give up the ghost, when you die, the real you comes out of this thing that's holding us down. Okay? Now, I have had the opportunity to leave this body, and I've had the opportunity to be preaching and had the opportunity to go in the back of the room and watch myself preach. Most of the time, I don't like what I see when I do that. You know what I'm saying? But it gives me some tips on how to get better and being a preacher. So I know a little bit about out-of-body experiences, all right? But let me tell you, the fact of it is that there is an absolute about the fact that there is another world out there. A world of which you and I can't see into unless the Lord God would reveal it or open it up for us. And He does do that from time to time to many of us. But that world is there. Now what we need to do is understand exactly what that is about and how it operates. Now, I gave us plenty of time to find Daniel 10, I realize. The 10th verse, Daniel 10:10, says, "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, O man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when I had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling." And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." Now, what the angel was saying unto Daniel was very simple. And it's a must that you get a hold of this. He said, "Your words that you prayed were heard the very first day." But here we're told, because evidently there was some kind of a fight going on, some kind of a battle that was taking place, that it took 21 days for him to come. Now listen, he came for the words that Daniel spoke. Now you want to get a hold of this because it's deep and it's real. Unless you are praying, and I assume we have all been through many seminars of prayer, and understand that if you don't pray, you need a prayer. If you don't have a prayer life, get one. If you don't pray 3 times a day, start. The fact of the matter is that, bless God, unless you are praying amiss, and you can pray in doubt and unbelief, and you can, your words were heard. Now, when the angel comes for your words, you know what he's doing? He's coming to deliver to you that which you have prayed or prayed for, one and the same. Now the thing that we need to understand here, again, is that he couldn't get, evidently, his prayers were not answered immediately. Now, how many of us, when our prayers aren't answered immediately, we get a little antsy the day or two or three that go down the road? We all do. Why do we get antsy? We get antsy because our flesh man is very impatient. Our flesh man brings itself to a place where we begin to believe that, bless God, that we dominate, and that because of all these things that we have been taught, some of which have been right, some of which have been wrong, some of which have been in between, that we walk in some areas that, bless God, that are half-truths, and sometimes at best half-truths. But when we begin to realize that there is something that is blocking and or loosening our ability in the heavens above us, then there is something else to be reckoned with, my brothers and sisters, other than just binding up the devil in Yeshua's name. All right? Now, I want you to look in the first verse of that 10th chapter. It says here, "In the third year, Osiris of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and that thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision." So he had understanding. And it said, "In those days," in the second verse, "I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, 21 days he was fasting. He said, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine to my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." Now, I believe, as we begin to venture down through this, that the prince of Persia obviously was a spirit being. But you know there was a Persia. Do you know who Persia is today? Today, Persia is where we're at over in Iraq, is Persia. Now, as I'm going to do this thing for 2006 that I might be able to give to you before, you ought to just print it out and hand it out the door when you went out, probably been easier. About the coming year of 2006, I spend quite a bit of time talking about Persia, talking about Iraq, talking about what's getting ready to unfold over there, folks. This thing is going to get to be a real deal. We're about to come to grips. You understand that land all the way to the Euphrates, which Iraq covers all the way up and down along most of the Euphrates in that area, belongs to us, belongs to Israel. It was given to us by God. It will be ours again. The reason that there's all the Syrians, Al-Qaeda, bless God, and Iran is sending all the people in to blow themselves up, they're even blowing their own people up at this point in time, is because if, in fact, Iraq becomes democratic, there's a very good chance that Iraq will end up being in the hands of the U.S. and Israel. And that's what they believe to be the fact, and that is what the fact is. And the other fact is, all they need to do is to get a hold of something that will make a big enough hole in the ground and cause enough fallout that, bless God, that it will cause a tremendous, tremendous amount of death over there in the Middle East. And of course, the other thing they want to do is to destroy America. But you have to understand, and I got into this a little bit up in Chicago last weekend, was the fact that you and I are going to have to come with grips. We're too naive as Americans. Folks, we don't think like they think. And if you've never traveled and spent the time, I've literally had terrorists chase me up and down the mountains of Mindanao enough that, bless God, it was hard to even get anybody to go with me when I went to the Philippines. Because why? Because, bless God, that is real. The fact of it is, their commission on this earth is to kill the infidels. Everybody that is not of the Islamic faith is to die so that the land can be cleansed again. And it just comes down to the fact they're either going to die or we're going to die. And folks, there is no old golly gee, we're going to pray and we're going to change this thing. The die has been set. It's going to take place and it's going to happen. We will enter into a war with Israel and with Iran. Possibly Syria will get mixed up into it, and bless God, there's going to be a lot of people going to die. There's going to be a lot of blood spilled, even more so than is be spilled over in that land. Now, Persia, so I got off on that. Let me go back. Persia, bless God, definitely is a real place. The king or the prince of Persia, a real person. All right. Now, what did he say was going on? So jump back over there in that. In that 13th verse, it says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days." In other words, he fought against him. He tried to hold him back. All right, but he got help from Michael, one of the chief princesses, and he remained there with the kings of Persia. So, in other words, there is over into the supernatural world. There are absolute such things as the kingdom and the kings of Persia. And there are also the kings of Persia that was on this earth at that time. And it's important to relate to that, to understand that, bless God, that the seen kingdom with human rulers and then the unseen kingdom both being called the same thing on this earth. And, of course, there are reasons about that and for that. The battle lines of which are drawn, and again, to understand, let's go to the book of Luke in the fourth chapter, because over here, we're being told something here, Luke 4. We're being spoken to here by the Lord, Luke 4. The Lord's talking here, of course, about him, the fifth verse, I'm sorry, I said the fifth and sixth verse of Luke 4. It says, "And the devil taketh him up into a high mountain, showeth unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." So there are kingdoms of the world. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. Now, we need to stop, and you need to understand something about the powers of darkness. Yes, we have overcome darkness. From what Yeshua, Jesus, came and did, we are more than conquerors through Him, Yeshua. But you also need to understand that Satan is the god of this world. And he has power and he has dominion over this world, given to him by God and by nobody else. And I know that the question that I would have one day to the Lord God is, why in the world, after you relieved him from his place of walking down up and down the stones up where he was at in the third heaven, that you'd put him down here and give him authority on this earth and in the heavenlies, which is the atmospheric heaven, just above the earth. The fact of it is, God is an awesome God, an all-knowing God, and I'm certain that his plan for mankind included Satan. I'm certain about that. And the reason I'm certain about that is because God is, if you will, a glory seeker. He wants glory and he wants praise given unto him. And he wants that to happen 24/7, folks, not just when you get around to it. You know, preachers are big about pounding the pulpit and trying to sell the church on, well, now we don't believe, the church doesn't believe in the law, but we use Malachi to beat everybody over the head with to try to collect the money that they were talking about that went with people that served the law, okay? The fact of it is, 10% of your time toward God would be nice. Amen? And in our society today, we are so busy that what we end up doing in most cases is we're fortunate if we can give God 10 minutes. Some of us can't seem to give Him 10 seconds, can we? And then we wonder why things don't work out for us. Now, this thing that the Lord got Himself into, and to ask ourselves the question, well, how did it all happen? Where did he get this authority to be able to say, he makes a comment down here in that sixth verse, for that is delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will, I give it. He said, I'll give glory. I'll give thee power. I will give all this power. To whoever I want to give it to, I'll give it to. Have you ever been involved with people out of the satanic realm? Have you ever had the opportunity? I have watched God deliver a number of satanic high priests over 30 years. I've watched bodies levitate because of the powers of darkness in them coming out of them. I'm going to tell you something. These people that ask for the power of darkness get it. It comes to them. One of the people that God let me deliver or pray for, and he delivered them, obviously, was a woman, and she was a high priestess. She was impregnated every year so that she had a baby that was somewhere within about 3 to 4 months old, and that baby every year was sacrificed, killed at the last stroke of midnight on the 31st day of October, Halloween, while most of the church is in the basement dunking for apples. Okay? Like I said, we don't keep Pesach, all right, which God tells us that we will keep throughout our generations for a perpetual covenant unto Him. We won't keep Pesach, but we'll keep Easter. We'll paint eggs. Come on. We'll get chickens. And then we wonder why, because that happens to be the fertility goddess high moment, why all of our young girls come up pregnant. We've just never been able to figure that out, folks. It's time that we grow up. It's time that the church comes back around and finds out something. This isn't a game. This is life and death. Now the problem that we're coming to now in this hour is that we're either going to have to grow up or we're going to get run over spiritually. And in order to understand that, let's go to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. I'm getting after this a little bit. Unfortunately, for most of us, we're in a position where it's almost like a catch-22. Are you going to follow after the things of God? Or are you going to follow after the traditions of man? 2 Corinthians, 4:4. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now who is the God of this world? It's Satan. But he has blinded the minds of them which believe not. See, those that believe not are blinded. That's the reason murder, that's the reason all these things go on, is because they are non-believers. Now we're not going to identify tonight believers. I know I've been through a lot of that, and I think it's going to be important as we go on through this walk in the next few years for us to be able to understand and identify who the believers are. For our own sake, because of the fact that, bless God, you have to understand something. If you're going to believe, then what are you going to believe? If you're going to serve God, in what capacity are you going to serve God, or what capacity have you been serving God? And these are legitimate questions, and they deserve answers. And I'm here as a prophet, and one of the things I've said, and I've said for a long time, as a prophet, we're beginning to push the church back into a corner. And we're beginning to absolutely demand of the church. Now, it's with a prophet like me, I prophesy the sign or that which I have given comes to pass. Then it would be smart if people would say, okay, now he's prophesied all this, and all this has come to pass, so maybe we should listen to what this man has got to say. And on top of that, and those things that I prophesy come to pass, over this side, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the cancers leave, the crooked arms straighten, the crooked legs that are, or the short legs grow, the big feet get small, the little feet get big. All these things happen. And you know why I keep saying something to people? Isn't that like into what the Lord Yeshua did when he was here? I ought to have been from Missouri. Some of you are from Missouri, right? I should have been from there. The fact of it is, I always said, show me. Show me. I want to see. I went to church and sat there for 2 years and never saw anybody healed from a cold. 2 years sat there. Finally, I went up and said to the pastor, I said, Pastor, are we ever going to see anybody healed? You know what Pastor told me? He said, well, son, he says, it's because of your faith, and the faith of the people just isn't strong enough. Well, I didn't know anything. I was green. I didn't know anything. I went home. I got before God. I cried tears. I said, God, it's our fault. It's our fault. It's our fault that people are coming in. And see, I didn't know the portion of Scripture says that the yoke will be destroyed because the anointing, or the anointing shall destroy the yoke, however you want to say that. I didn't know that part. So, bless God, I monkeyed around that church for another 6-8 months. And finally I said, I'm going to leave this church, and the reason I'm going to leave it is I think we're selling people a bag of rocks. Now, God either heals or God doesn't heal, and if God doesn't heal, then what are we lying to people about? We keep bringing people in that are sick, people that got cancer, people that are lame, people are blind, and they all leave, and they're the same way they were, and we're all sick, and what's going on? About that time, a brother came along, and a brother said to me, he said, Brother Decker, you need to come go with me. I said, well, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Atlanta, Georgia. I said, just what are you going to do to Atlanta, Georgia? He said, I'm going down there because there's a real prophet of God going to be down there. He said, an old man, he said, I'm going to just tell you right now, he's scared the thunder out of you, but he said, you need to see God's real. See, that's what I keep saying to the church. Church needs to see God's real. Do you know what the difference is in the third world and the multitudes that come, walk 3 and 4 days and sleep beside the road to come into the meetings that I'm in the third world? Do you know why they show up? They show up because miracles happen. I don't get up there and debate the Word of God to see if I'm a better speaker or see if I can convince the people more so than the group that's down the road, mainly the witch doctors. I go in, I minister the Word, and signs and wonders confirm the words that I minister. The lame walk, the blind see, and the miracles come, and the people are converted by the thousands to Yeshua. The difference is that, folks. So I went down there. I got down there, and sure enough, I never seen anything like it in my life. Now, I was going to a Pentecostal church. Now, I come out of what's known as it was EUB, became merged with the United Brethren, merged with now what they call the United Methodist Church. And anyway, my grandmother, bless her heart, told me, she said, Tommy, you got to get out of this dead thing I'm in. She said, there was a time, Tommy, when they spoke in tongues, and she said, and people were healed and slain in the Spirit in the Methodist Church, or the EUB Church at that time. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, well, Grandma, I said, what happened? She said, I'll tell you what happened. She said, the people quit believing. I get to Atlanta, Georgia. This old man come out, and he looked as wild as any old boy I'd ever seen in my life. And he couldn't. He screamed. Every word he said, he screamed. I was sitting back there, and I thought, well, what kind of a guy is this? That old boy kept punching me. He said, you watch. He said, you watch. Sure enough, went through, and all of a sudden, by about 9, 10 o'clock that night, he said, all right, he said, whoever needs to be healed, get up here. And about that time, it was a big old tent. Held something like 6,000-7,000 people. Big tent. About that time, somebody come pushing a hospital bed down the middle aisle of that tent with all those lines hanging down and all those that stuff draining down into this person's body and shoved that thing right up to the front of that stage. My eyes got big. I thought, we're about to either see God be God or this old boy's going to get out of business. That old boy, he looked down at that guy and he was on that gun. He said, what's wrong with him? That woman told him. She acted like she's almost afraid to talk to him. And she told him. And anyway, he said, all right. He come down off that stage. He laid his hand on that guy. And all of a sudden, I heard this old boy let out a war whoop of some sort. And bless God, he grabbed over and he grabbed hold of all those doggone things in his arm. And he yanked them out. He jumped up out of that bed and he started running around that tent. And that old man said, catch him! Bless God, there went about four people trying to catch him. He was outrunning the four people. They finally caught him. They brought him back up front, and they asked him, the preacher said, now, he said, what are you here for? He said, well, he said, I was dying of cancer. He said, well, just what stage was you in? And his wife said, well, the stage where they told us to come because he wouldn't be alive in the morning. Now, that got my attention. Wow. Maybe God does. Maybe God does heal. Somebody else came. They were healed. Things that you could see. It went on. The rest of that, you know, that healing line went on for 2 hours, and bless God, I wasn't moving. People start leaving, I'd move up. I'd get a little closer. Bless God, the time that thing was over, I went back to that hotel room and I said to that brother, I said, praise God, I said, he is a miracle worker. He said, yeah. He said, Brother Deckard, I knew you need to see that. The next morning, bless God, I couldn't hardly sleep all night. I was outside that hotel. It was July the 4th, hot as it can be. It gets hot down in Atlanta. Now, I'm outside walking back and forth in the parking lot when the sun's coming up. And me and the Lord's having a serious conversation because what I'm saying to the Lord is just simply, God, I want to do that. Isn't that what the disciples said when they came up to Yeshua and said, what must we do that we might work the works of God? Isn't that exactly, yes, that's what I was saying. God, I want to work the works. I want to see those things happen. And do you know something I told the Lord on that day, or actually that would be that day, I said to the Lord then, I said, Lord, I'm not going to be a minister. And I said, because at that point I knew I was called into the ministry, and I said, but I'm not going to be a minister, Lord, and I will take my stripes on the day that I stand before you other than making a fool out of you, trying to make a bunch of people believe that you do things, and it never happens. Turned around, right around, went back in the hotel room and shut the door, and the sun was up. Come time to go to that 10 o'clock meeting. I was there far earlier than most. Got myself down toward the front as close as I get, and still quite a ways back, because some of them brothers and sisters had been to his meetings before. You get there early, you get a good seat. You get there later, you could be in the back. Well, bless God, I'm sitting there, and the morning service was fantastic, the afternoon service was fantastic, and that night service came along. And bless God, I got there, and I still didn't get there early enough, and I sat way back. That old man, he was a preaching. The stage was probably about this big, but it was a lot taller than this, and he would walk along, and he was standing over this side of the stage, and he was looking out across there like this. And he was just a preaching and screaming and yelling and carrying on. And bless God, I thought, well, what about all them other people? I thought, I'm going to tell you one thing, Lord. He may be a preacher, but he's a rude preacher. See, I didn't know anything about prophets at that time, and I get accused every once in a while of being rude myself. I don't understand why, but it happens sometimes. And all of a sudden, he stopped, and he said, it's you! And everybody started looking. No, you! Finally, it got back to me, and I go, yeah, you! Yeah, come up here! Folks, I'm going to tell you one thing. I've been enough service with that old man to understand one thing. That old boy could tell you what you had for breakfast. I started repenting for everything I'd ever done, everything I thought I was ever going to do, and asked God to hide every thought I'd ever had for the last 6 weeks from that guy. And I'm walking up that thing going, oh, God, oh, God. I got up to the front, that old man looked at me, and he said, you don't understand any of it, do you? I said, no, I don't. He said, you will. He said, and he took me by the shoulders, and he started this, and he took me like this, and he, all the way around. You see that crowd? I said, yes, sir. He said, that ain't nothing, boy. He said, God's called you to preach. God's going to send you to the four corners of this world, and he said, you're going to preach to multitudes. He said, you're going to baptize starting in the morning and still be baptizing when it's dark. And he said, I'm here to tell you, he said, preachers are going to hate your guts. People are going to call you the devil. And he said, you're going to find very few friends that you're ever going to make while you're in the ministry on the face of this earth. But he said, let me tell you something. He said, God has given you an anointing that will absolutely raise the dead, open up the waters to walk across on dry land. He said, you're going to see it all. I looked at him. Now, I don't know any of this. I'm going, okay. He said, do you know what a prophet is? I said, yeah, they're in the Bible. He said, well, you are called one. He said, they're called to be one. He said, I'm a prophet. He said, I am a prophet of God. And he said, you are called to be a prophet. He said, you've been called to be a prophet to the nations. And he said, that calls for a whole different kind of anointing. And he said, it gets scary sometimes, but he said, you'll learn to live with it. I said, okay. He stood there for a minute. Now, me and him having this conversation, all these people are sitting out there looking at us. I keep going, maybe the guy ought to go back to preaching, you know. I mean, and he said, no. He said, it'll be all right. He said, wait a minute. He said, God wants me to give you something. I said, oh, really? And he said, yep. He said, he looked out across the street. He goes, some woman was sitting back. He said, what's wrong with you? That woman said, well, she said, I was in a car wreck, had my leg pinned, and she said, it's about that much short. He said, you'll do. Come up here. Bless God, here come this woman up there. That gal comes back. I go, well, what's he going to give to me? That I got a wife. I was a little confused to say the least. But he says, "Boy, I want you." He called me boy. He said, "Boy, I want you to watch this. Now, don't you pray." He said, "I don't need your prayers, and you don't have enough anointing this time." He said, "To spit on." So he said, "Just stand there and watch what's going on." I said, "Yes, sir." And he laid his hand on that gal's head, commanded that leg to grow, and that leg just started doing this. And he turned around and he looked at me and he said, now that miracle will be the first miracle of many miracles that you're going to see in your ministry. I said, that's mine? He said, yeah, when you get in the pulpit. He said, you're not in the pulpit yet, are you? I said, no. He said, when you get that in ministering, he said, the first miracle you see is going to be a short leg growth. Well, folks, 2 years later, I'm finally in the ministry. I'm finally begging people to let me come preach at their church. Literally begging them. Do you realize preachers are a dime a dozen? And I'm going to tell you what, I went out into this thing thinking, you know, I was probably God's whatever that was, and found out in about the first 6 months that I wasn't sure I ought to even be preaching, including what that old man said to me. But 2 years went by, and I was preaching, and I'd lay hands on people, and when I begin to teach, and I've got tapes, and God only knows, folks, I got thousands of master tapes after after 30 years of preaching, all the ministry time that I get, I'm not happy unless I preach about 5-6 nights a week, and if it's 7, it's great, and if I can do 2 meetings a day, that's fine, and if I can find a place that'll put up with me, I can do 3 meetings a day, that's even better. The fact of it is, it's like heroin. Bless God, I know what it's all about. I'd like to live in it. I know you can't stand to live in it all the time, the anointing, but bless God, that's what my life is, and that's all that it is. So I'm preaching away and doing myself the best I can do, and bless God, when you begin and you're young, see, the anointing just doesn't start raising the dead when you begin. Okay. Let me tell you something, Brother Rahakadish here. You have to understand that Samuel, probably one of the greatest prophets that ever walked this earth, he had to learn to know the voice of God, didn't he? And yet we go to some of these meetings and all of a sudden we get baptized in the Rahakadish and we're told just to go home, pray, and listen, you're going to hear God. And what we're most of the time, that's what we're told. And most of the time what happens, now listen to me, a familiar spirit comes upon you and you don't even know that it's not God. Don't even know. Don't have any idea. I talked about the portable throne coming down from heaven that God's going to come down to do this revival in. Baloney. Never going to happen, folks. But you see, now did that person think they heard from God? You bet you they think they heard from God. 2 years went by. One night, I'm preaching, okay? And I'm already, they turned the meeting over to me and I'm preaching. And I back through a back door, I saw this guy, and here he comes. I stopped preaching, and I watched that old boy. He walked up there, right in the front row. Wasn't anything, no place else left. He had to sit up there. So he got up there, and he sat down. And that shoe was built up about like that. I said, "Hot diggity dog." People looked at me, and I said, "Folks, we're going to get in business." Now, as I said, when you're young, the anointing has to grow. The anointing grows, and I'm a real stickler about this. I don't think you'll ever have any more anointing than you got word in you. Okay? If you get scriptural, you'll become spiritual and never know it. Okay? But if you don't ever get scriptural, spirituality is something you're always going to play with. Wish was around, and yet it'll be like a fleeting butterfly. It never seems to show up. Back in those days, the anointing would be strong enough, and it may last enough to pray for the first 2 or 3 people in the line, and the rest of the time you're just going to have to believe their faith, my faith, and any dogs that was out in the alley's faith might be enough to get somebody healed, okay? But this night it was different because I knew what that old prophet had told me, and bless God, 2 years have gone by, and here come that man. I looked at that old boy, and I walked over there, and I looked at him, and I said, "Got a short leg, huh?" He picked up. He said, "Well, what do you think?" I said, "Yep, got a short leg." I said, "Tonight's your night?" He said, "My night for what?" I said, "That for your short leg to grow and be as long as your other leg." He looked at me and he said, "You can do that?" I said, "No, but the Lord can." Started to turn around to go back. Now, I'm in the middle of... Of course, being a preacher, you're always in the middle of a good sermon. I'm in the middle of probably boring the tears out of everybody anyway. And so the guy said, I turned around and he said, "Well, do it now." I thought, now, wait a minute. I'm not prepared now. I need to work up to this. You know, I need to work up to this. You know, you... Come on. Sometimes we get to feel like we just need that, you know, we need to work up to this. One time the Lord asked me, he said, "Well, you know, how much anointing do you think it takes to open a blind eye compared to, bless God, the anointing it takes to heal a cold?" I said, "Oh, it takes a lot more anointing for that blind eye." And he said, "No, it doesn't." He said, "It doesn't take one bit more anointing for that blind eye to open than a common cold to be healed." Laid hands on that old boy and that leg grew that night. Bless God, I went home. It changed my ministry. It changed my life. And from that time on, what that old man prophesied over me came to pass on a monthly and, bless God, bi-monthly basis. Bless God, it started out with short legs, and then, bless God, it began to be that, and I began to see this happen, and began to see that happen. The folks, the fact is, there's another world out there that's trying to stop all this from happening. All right? Satan is the god of that world and of this world here. The two-kingdom system is the power of light, the power of darkness. We have overcome. And I think because we feel like we've overcome, I think that in some cases, I think we get ourselves in a position of believing that, bless God, that all we got to do is say, do, and the devil runs. And that's not necessarily the case.
Hey, thank you so much, Prophet Deckard. Again, you can get a hold of us at the website, www.jewishprophet.com, and you can find out, again, all this material that you're hearing taught every day, every week. Folks, you want to get out there and start taking a look at that and start ordering that material, because you need to get a hold of that and start to apply that into your life so that it will change your life. You know what? You can also email your prayer requests to cradle@jewishprophet.com. We'll be praying for your prayer requests. Shalom until tomorrow. And remember, with God, all things are possible.
אשר מלך בטרם כל יציר נברא את נעשה בחפצו כל אזי מלך שמו נקרא